will dedicate Divrei Torah for Refuah Shleima for Nissan Moshe ben Chana Gittel. Okay, I want to first tell you that it is an honor for me to be here and a pleasure. I don't know if it's going to be a pleasure for you, but it's a pleasure for me because I know Rabbi Lipman and I know his family and I even know his grandfather who the yeshiva is named for. And it's an honor to be able to be here and speak to you. And in fact, I see you're such a fine group of young Talmidim that it's improper for me to sit here, but in your honor, I'm going to stand and speak to you. I think that is for sure better. Let me start with something that may give you a little comfort that you have to sit here and listen to me. When I was a rabbi in Miami many years ago in America, so I used to give my Shabbos morning drushes on Shabbos morning. And one Sunday morning, one of my balabatim said to me, "You know, Rabbi, I didn't sleep all last night because of your drusha." I said, "Wow, I'm really flattered that it made such an impression on you that you couldn't sleep all night." He said, "That's not exactly. It's just whenever I sleep in the daytime, I have a hard time sleeping at night." I learned from that I have the power to put people to sleep when I speak. So if you're tired and you've had a stressful day, this may be very, very beneficial for you. If you are hardcore insomniacs and you can't get to sleep, then you may have to listen to some Divrei Torah. Let's start with some questions, and maybe you'll think of better answers than I have, but at least you'll hear the questions. Emunah. Is there a mitzvah to believe in Hashem? So the Baal Halachas Gedolah says, no, there's no mitzvah. Not that you don't have to believe in Hashem. You do have to believe, but it's not a mitzvah. It is a foundation. It's something that's taken for granted. You can't start the Torah without believing in God. But you can't have a mitzvah to believe in God. A mitzvah means somebody's commanding you to do it. Now, if I believe in God, I can come to you and say, God said, keep Shabbos. Okay, I believe in God, and God said I should keep Shabbos. So there could be a command. But if you don't believe in the commander, there can't be a command. How can I say, if you don't believe in God, God said you should believe in Him? I don't believe in Him. Who said? It doesn't start anywhere. So the Baal Halachas Gedolos, as well as the Ramban, says, Emunah can't be a mitzvah, because in order for there to be a mitzvah, there has to be a mitzvah. There has to be somebody who commands you. Otherwise, there can't be a command. So it is a foundation, it's not a mitzvah. The Rambam counts Emunah as a mitzvah. So who's that mitzvah to? If you already believe in God, you don't need a mitzvah. And if you don't believe in God, there can't be a mitzvah. So who is this mitzvah for? One question. Second question. This week's Sedra. It says, Vayiru ha'ames Hashem. They feared God. Vayaminu b'Hashem uv'Moshe avdo. And they believed in God. Anything wrong with the order? They feared God, and then they believed in God. Anything wrong with the order of those two things? What would you say comes first? Believing in God or fearing Him?
Believing.
Believing. If you don't believe in God, how can you fear Him? How can you fear something you don't believe in? So first it should have said, Vayaminu b'Hashem, and then Vayiru ha'ames Hashem. They believed in God, then they feared Him. Why does it say the opposite order? First they feared Him, and then they believed in Him? Doesn't make sense. Another question. Hashem tells Avram Avinu that he's going to have children, and his children are going to get Eretz Yisrael. And the Torah says, Vayamin b'Hashem, he believed in God, Vayachshaveh lo tzedakah. And the way Rashi learns, and Hashem considered it a tremendous tzedakah, a really great thing, that Avram Avinu believed in Him. Okay? Says the Ramban, I don't understand what Rashi is talking about. If Hashem would talk to you, and you know that it's God talking to you, no question, no doubts, God talks to you and he tells you something. Would you expect to believe him? Now, we're not talking about me talking to you or Rabbi Lipman talking to you in the name of God. We're talking about God coming to you at night and talking to you, and you know for sure it's him. Would you believe him? Was there any question that you would believe him? So what is the big deal? He believed in God, and God said, wow, that's really great. What did God expect? That Avraham Avinu would say, nah, you're pulling my leg, I don't believe a word of it. And he believed him. God said, wow, that's really something. What's the big deal? God spoke to him, of course he believed him. One last question. It says, whoever does chesed, if you do chesed with other people, you help out other people, you do kindness, it's like you believe in all the miracles that Hashem did when we went out of Mitzrayim. And if you don't do chesed, it's like you don't believe. Chesed is bein adam l'makom or bein adam l'chavero. What's chesed? Something between you and God or between you and your friend? Bein adam l'chavero. Emuna is between you and Hashem. What in the world does chesed have to do with emuna? Why, if you're gomel chesed, then you're a maimon. And if you're not gomel chesed, then it's like you don't believe. What does one thing have to do with the other? One is bein adam l'makom, and one is bein adam l'chavero. There are plenty of people in this world who do chesed, don't believe in God. And there are plenty of people who do believe in God, unfortunately, who may not do chesed. Why are they dependent one on the other? So let's start giving some answers. Good questions? Something to think about? Now let me tell you some of the answers that... One answer that will probably answer all of it. Let's start with the following. And I'm going to tell you now, mostly, the beginning is from Ebelchanan Wasserman, Hashem Yimkom Damo, in Kovetz Ma'amorim. If you want to look it up for yourself, maybe you'll understand it better than I understand it. It's in Kovetz Ma'amorim. You could ask Rabbi Lipman where to find the Kovetz Ma'amorim, and it's in the first Ma'amorim, very first one. He asked quite a few questions also. One of them is one of the questions we asked. How could there be a mitzvah of emunah? If you don't believe in God, how could God come along and then say, believe in me? I don't believe in you. Who's talking to me? And if you believe in God, you don't need a mitzvah. He asked another question. You ever heard of Aristotle? Famous Greek philosopher? Well, the Rambam says that Aristotle was the wisest person that ever existed. He reached the highest level of Chachmah, probably not greater than Shlomo HaMelech, one step less than being a Navi. That's how great Aristotle was in his wisdom. And you know, Aristotle didn't believe in God? So if Aristotle, with all his wisdom, didn't believe in God, how could we expect every 13-year-old boy and 12-year-old girl to believe in God? It's not fair. If Aristotle didn't believe in God, how could every 13-year-old and 12-year-old believe in God? And one more question he asked. He asked more. I'm just going to tell you one more. It says in Kriya Shema, Lo sasuru achrei levadchem v'acharei einechem. Don't go after your heart and after your eyes. So the rabbis say, going after your eyes is immorality. You see something that not supposed to look at, and you get a Yetzer Hara, right? You understand that that's going after your eyes. What's going after your heart? False philosophies. False ideologies, believing in the wrong things. If I were to ask you, where are false philosophies? In your heart or in your mind? Where would you say?
Heart.
Your heart, why? You believe, if you don't believe something is right, you believe something is wrong, right? So you think it's your thought, it's your mind, no? Your heart is your emotion.
What? You
what?
You just said before it's from your heart.
Oh, okay. I see you're listening. But you're one step ahead of me. But I would think that philosophy is in your head. Philosophy is something you learn with your brain. So your brain's making a mistake. It's not your heart that's making a mistake. Your emotion is not making a mistake. It's your mind. He answers the following. He says that, let me give you an example to what he's saying, a little bit updated. What I'm going to tell you now is really in the Chovos HaLevavos, but I'm going to make it more up to date. I'm going to ask you three questions, and we'll see how you do, or how you score. First question. I have a watch, okay? Keeps time, runs very nicely, made up of a lot of parts. I'm going to give you two possibilities. They're both possible. I want to know which one is more probable. How did that watch get here? First possibility, a watchmaker made the watch. Okay, that's one possibility. Second possibility, there were a lot of watch parts on the table, and over many, 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 many years, the wind came and threw those parts off the table, little by little, and one time they all fell together and made a watch. Just by accident. It's possible. Which one is more probable? The first one or the second one? Everybody agree? Okay, so far you're batting 100, 1,000. Right? Good. Good answer. Second question. Dictionary. Big, fat dictionary. With words in alphabetical order, with their meanings. Two possibilities how that dictionary got here. One, a person who knows how to write dictionaries wrote the dictionary and printed it and published it. One possibility. Second possibility. There were many, many thousands of monkeys typing on a keyboard, okay, on a word processor, over many, 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 many years. And by accident, they happened to type out this dictionary one time. Which is... What? Well, it could be a dictionary too. Dictionary is even more... No, which is it? First one? So far, excellent. Okay. Next, one more question, that's all. The human eye. The human eye is more complicated, more sophisticated than the most sophisticated video camera. Okay? Very intricate. How did it get here? Two possibilities. One is, there's a God who created the world intelligently and fashioned the human eye. That's one possibility. There's another possibility. There were hydrogen atoms floating around in space. Now first we have to understand where did these hydrogen atoms come from and where does space come from? That we don't know. That you have to believe that there was always space and there was always these hydrogen atoms. They just came. Okay, so we have to believe in something. Believe in space and believe in hydrogen atoms. And they were just floating around in space, doing nothing. And one day, for no apparent reason, either they exploded, imploded, and all of a sudden there's all of the material that went into this universe. Right? All of the elements of the periodic table came from the fusion of hydrogen atoms. Okay, you learn chemistry? No? Okay. In any case, so that's how all the elements came about. From hydrogen came helium and so on and so on and so on. Now we have all these elements, and then after millions and millions of years, the elements solidified into stars. And two stars came very close to each other, and one of them pulled off some matter from the other and set it going around that star. And that was our sun and our solar system. Now, that matter that was going around the sun, some of it was very close to the sun, so it was too hot to support life. Some of it was too far from the sun, it was too cold to support life. And just one little ball of matter was just in the right place. Not too far, not too close, just like Goldilocks' porridge. Not too hot, not too cold, right there in the place where there could be water and air, and all of the building blocks of life were in that water. All the proteins and building blocks of life. And all of a sudden, one day, by accident, a lightning bolt hit the water and made those proteins or whatever turn into an amoeba, a living being. Now, scientists have been trying to do that on purpose for years and years and years, and they can't do it. They can't turn unliving things into something living. It has never been done. But it happened by accident. Long time ago, just like this, just by accident. What they can't do on purpose happened by accident. Okay, now we have this little amoeba. The amoeba is very happy, right? Being an amoeba, there's nothing wrong with it. Not missing anything. And one day, instead of the amoeba splitting into another amoeba, the amoeba has a paramecium, a many-celled creature. Now let me tell you what that's like. Even worse then. Imagine a woman goes to the hospital to have a baby. And the doctor comes out and says, Mazel Tov, it's a giraffe. He said, giraffe? I was really expecting a boy or a girl. What do you mean a giraffe? He said, well, you know, sometimes people have giraffes. It's just, you know, that's a mutation. Right? It's easier for a woman to have a giraffe than for an amoeba to have a paramecium. But it happened by accident. Okay, now we have this many cell things, and we'll skip quite a few things. Over millions and millions of years, the paramecium all of a sudden had many, many generations of other mutations, and it had fish. And these fish just came by accident. But the fish were very smart, and not only that, they were prophets. Because somehow the fish knew that the waters they were in were drying up. And in about a million years, they were going to need to create lungs so their descendants would have to go on the dry land. Now, how did they know that? I don't know. Because if the waters were drying up the next day, that was too late. It had to be like a million years ahead that they knew about it. So they had to be prophets. Maybe they felt the water going down the drain in the bottom of the river. I don't know exactly how they knew it, but they knew it somehow. So they were busy having mutations that would have lungs, not just gills. So when the rivers dried up, they could go out on the dry land and be able to breathe. And that's what happened. A million years later, they had amphibians, right? Creatures that could breathe and be in the water. And it's interesting, because if they came out of the water and there was nothing to eat, they would die within a day or two. So the plants on the dry land were also evolving to be able to give these things something to eat. So over a million years, the plants knew that there was going to be these things coming out of the water, and the things out of the water knew they would need lungs. Okay, now you have these amphibians crawling on the earth. Some of them got tired of walking, so they started having mutations of birds that would fly. Some of them weren't too, what? Right. Okay. So they, what's it called? They're first, these amphibians came reptiles, and then some of the reptiles got tired of walking, so they evolved into birds so they could fly. And some of them weren't tired of walking. They remained reptiles. From the reptiles came mammals. From the mammals came apes. And one day, an ape opened the New York Times and became a human being. That's how the human eye came here. Where did the New York Times come from? It's a good question, too. In any case... Okay, so I want you to know, now answer me this question. Which one is more probable? Not possible. The first, that there's an intelligent creator who created this world, or the second? Both are possible. Which is more probable?
Well, when you put it all like that...
Okay. Do you know... And I'm sure you know, because I see that you are very, very intelligent young men. Do you know that there are people, very intelligent people, very respectable people, who tell you that the second thing is more probable than the first? If you believe in God, you're believing in fairy tales. But if you believe the second thing, that's science. Why? When it comes to watches, when it comes to dictionaries, everybody agrees that it's more probable there's someone who made the thing, the watch or the dictionary, than it just came by itself. When it comes to the world, there all of a sudden people change their mind. Why? Because people don't want to believe in a God. You know why? You know why you don't want to believe in God? Because if there is no God and everything happened by accident, then everything's an accident. You can do whatever you want. There's no meaning to anything, because everything's an accident. Right? There can't be any meaning. There can't be any right, wrong, good, bad. It's all an accident. There can't be anything wrong with stepping on an ant, because the ant came by accident. So what could be wrong with stepping on it? And therefore, there can't be anything wrong with stepping on your aunt from Chicago either, because she's also a bigger accident than the little one on the ground. There's more accidents that went into her. So there can't be anything right or wrong, good or bad. Do what you want. Everything is hefker. But people don't want to believe in a God, because if you believe in God, that means there's a purpose to the world. That means that God created it with a purpose, and you have to fit into that purpose. Not because God is stronger than you and can zap you with a lightning bolt, but for a different reason. Let me tell you the reason. When you buy a car, okay, it comes with a book. And the book tells you what kind of gasoline to put in the gas tank, and what kind of oil to put in the crankcase, and what kind of detergent to use to clean the seats. Yeah? Now, isn't that a chutzpah? Right? I bought the car. It's my car. Why is somebody going to tell me what to do with my car? I can put anything I want into the gas tank. I'll put sugar in the gas. I'll put water in the gas tank if I want. What's the problem with that? Yeah?
You could put grease in it if it's a diesel engine.
Yeah, you could, but I could put sugar too. I could put whatever I want. Why is that not proper? Because the guy who sold me the car or the people who made the car are going to punish me? No. You know why it's not proper? Because I didn't make the car. And unfortunately, the people who designed the car designed it to run on a certain gasoline and a certain oil. And I don't have to listen to them. I can put sugar in the gas tank, but it's not going to go anywhere. It's going to kill my car. If I believe that God created the world and He had a purpose, that means He designed me to eat certain things, to wear certain things, to say certain things, to think certain things, to work at certain times and not at other times. And I am bound to the design of the designer. I can do what I want. But I may be burning out my engine. I'm not going to get where I'm supposed to go. So I don't have to listen to God because He could zap me with a lightning bolt. I have to listen to Him because He designed me. And people don't want to believe in that. They don't want to be controlled. They want to be free. And therefore, people believe in what they want to believe. They don't necessarily believe in what's true. And that is in your heart. Let me tell you a medrash that brings this out. The medrash says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was dictating the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, so they came to the pasuk, Na'ase Adam Bitzalneinu Kidmuseinu. Let us make man. Now that sounds pretty bad. Sounds like there's more than one God. God's talking in the plural. Na'ase Adam. So Moshe said, I can't write this. The Christians are going to say, you see, there's more than one God. There's a Trinity. Those people believe in more than one God. You're going to bring a proof from the Torah. It says, Na'ase Adam. Let us make man. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, you write, the harotze li tos yitia. The person who wants to make a mistake will make a mistake. God doesn't care that He's making people make mistakes. So they explain the following. Nobody ever became an apikoros from learning the pasuk Na'ase Adam. You all learned that pasuk? Any of you get up and say, well, I can't believe anymore because it says Na'ase Adam. That must be more than one God. You look at Rashi, and Rashi says, what does mean Na'ase Adam? God asked advice from the angels to teach us to ask advice from people. And it's clear, because in the end of the pasuk it says, Vayas Elohim, in the singular. God made, singular. So when He said, Na'ase, let us make man, He was teaching us to ask advice. He asked advice from the angels. Nobody in first grade, nobody in seventh grade, no Baal Tshuva who ever learned Chumash, became an apikoros because it says Na'ase Adam. But the apikorsim bring a proof from there. Harotze litos, if a person wants to make a mistake, he'll make a mistake no matter what. Because he wants to make the mistake. That's what he wants. That's what his mind, not his heart, not his mind, his heart pushes him to do it. Let me tell you how people can distort anything if they want to. I once saw a letter from a person who thought he was Mashiach. This was years ago, before the internet. So he wanted to convince the world he was Mashiach, but it was very difficult because how do you get to the whole world to convince them? So he came up with a great idea. He's going to write letters proving he's Mashiach to rabbis, priests, ministers, and he's going to convince these rabbis and priests and ministers that he's Mashiach, and then he's going to tell to them, once you're convinced, you convince your congregation. So with one letter, he could get to quite a lot of people. All he has to do is convince the leader of the congregation. So I saw this letter. There were 10 proofs that this guy had that he was Mashiach. I don't remember all of them, but I'll tell you one of them. The other ones were simple. He says, it's clear that I'm Mashiach. Why? Because it says in Yeshayahu, when describing Mashiach, that he will be lemala mimalachim. Translated into English, he'll be above kings. The Mashiach will be above kings. He said, that's for sure me. How could I know? Because in the apartment underneath me, there are two dogs named King. And that puts me above kings. So it must be me. Harotze litos, a person who wants to make a mistake, is going to twist anything he wants to fit what he wants it to be. You see what you want to see. You believe what you want to believe. It's not in your mind. If you would look at the world objectively, you'd see there's a God. This as much as you see the writer of the dictionary and the maker of the watch, there's got to be a God. But if you don't want to believe, you can think of any distorted thing and convince yourself that that's true. I'll give you another example. You all realize that it's dangerous to smoke? It says that on the cigarette package, right? It could cause yourself terrible diseases or whatever. There are people who smoke. I once spoke to a person, very intelligent young man, married young man, and I said to him, how could you smoke? Aren't you afraid that you're going to get sick from smoking? He said, no. He said, all the research they did on finding out that cigarette smoking causes disease was on Goyim who smoked 7 days a week. I only smoke 6 days a week. It doesn't apply to me at all. Sounds crazy? No? Make any sense? No, but this person was a very intelligent person. So why could he believe such a narishkeit? You know why? Because he wanted to believe it. Because he wanted to smoke. And he had this desire to smoke. We say to try to make, to help somebody do an aveira is called lifnei iver lo sitei michshol. Don't put a stumbling block in front of the blind person. Says the Rambam, why do we call a person who does aveiras a blind person? What's wrong with a person who's blind? He's a very nice person. He says because his taivis, his desires, blind his eyes from seeing the truth. He can't see what's true because he doesn't want to see it. A person can blind his eyes and believe what he wants to believe and see what he wants to see. So not believing in God has nothing to do with your mind. It has to do with your heart. Because if you look and see the world the way it is, all the miracles, I heard you're going to have people come here, doctors, dentists, to explain to you the miracles of creation. How intricate it is. There must be some intelligent force that made all of these things. Not that it just came by accident. But a person who doesn't want to believe, not going to believe. Rav Shamshon Feil Hirsch says the following. The mitzvah to believe in God is not to have the knowledge that there's a God. Everybody has that knowledge deep down inside of them. It's obvious. It's the acknowledgement. It's accepting it. That's the mitzvah. So according to this idea, the first idea of emunah is not believe in God. You do believe deep down. Everybody has the capability of believing. But be objective and let yourself believe what you really deep down know. Acknowledge it. So the mitzvah is to people who don't believe. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to them and says, look, deep down you really know that there's a God. Accept it. That's the mitzvah. The acknowledgement. And that's why chesed and emunah go together. What's the difference between a mirror and a window? In a mirror, what do you see when you look in the mirror? Yourself. When you look through a window, you see everything outside. What's the difference? A little kesef, a little silver you put on the window, it becomes a mirror. A little kesef, kesef means things that you want. When you only look at what you want, all you see is yourself. When you are able to separate yourself from what you want and what really is, then you can see the whole world. So a person who does chesed is a person who doesn't only see himself. Then he can see God too. If you can only see yourself, then you sometimes can't see God either. So that's one idea. A second idea, you guys getting tired of this? Maybe need a little break, or would you like to continue until finish? Yeah? You okay to continue? Okay. Okay. So that's one way of answering the question, or some of the questions, that there is a mitzvah to believe, and the mitzvah is to people who don't believe. But deep down inside, if they just would look with their real eyes and see the world, they have to believe in God. There has to be somebody who made all of this. They couldn't believe it just came by accident. But the reason that they believe that is because they don't want to believe in a God. So God tells them, be objective. Divest yourself, separate yourself from what you want, and see the things the way they really are. Then there's another idea. The mitzvah is to people who believe already. But belief doesn't mean just saying, I believe in God. There's much more to it. You can believe in God, but you don't really feel it. Let me show you the difference between believing something, knowing something, and really, really feeling it. Do you ever see go to the park, and they painted the benches in the park, and they put a sign on it, wet paint? Yeah? Ever saw that? What is the natural reflex of most people when they see a sign like that? To touch the bench and look at their finger and see the paint. Why? Don't you believe signs? The sign says it's wet paint. The paint is glistening. It's obvious that there's wet paint there. Why do you have to touch it and look at your finger? You know why? Because when you see the sign and you see the paint glistening, you know in your head that it's wet paint, but you don't really feel it. It's not really real to you. When you see the paint on your finger, it's real. Same thing. Person can believe in God. I believe it. But do you really feel it? Is it real to you? It's a different story. So you can start out by believing in God, but there's a lot of things you can do to make it real, to really, really feel it. Not just believe it in your head, but to feel it with everything that you are. You know, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai told his Talmidim this idea. They asked him for a bracha before he died. And he said to them, Yehi mora shamayim aleichem kemora basar v'dam. You should fear God like you fear people. And they said, that's all? We should only fear God like we fear people? He said, halavai. Why? Because when a person doesn't have avera, why does he look around to see if anybody's watching? Doesn't he know that God's watching? Yeah, I believe God's watching, but it's not the same thing as people watching me. Because that I feel. And this I just know. So halavai, you should feel God watching you as much as you feel people watching you. They say the Chafetz Chaim, when he's a little boy, was on a wagon with a wagon driver. And the wagon driver stopped his wagon and he said, I'm hungry. And there's an apple orchard here. I'm going to go take some apples. So you stand guard. If anybody comes, scream so we get out of here before they catch me stealing the apples. So he went up the tree and started to take an apple, and the Chafetz Chaim, who was a little boy, Yisrael Meir, screamed, somebody's watching! So the guy jumped out of the tree, got back into the wagon, they took off. He looked back, he sees nobody's around. So he said, okay, let's try again. Gets another tree, climbed the tree, started to take an apple, and all of a sudden Yisrael Meir goes, there's somebody's watching! He got out of the tree again, got out of there, looked back, nobody's there. He said, who's watching? He said, God's watching. See, when you thought that people were watching, it made a big difference. But God watching, I believe it, but it's not the same thing. I don't feel it. So there's a mitzvah not only to believe, but the mitzvah is to really feel it. Mamish, to think that if God's watching, the same thing if I see somebody watching me over my shoulder. Another thing. Emunah also means to be faithful to what you believe. Or to believe that God is faithful. If you believe in God, then you should have trust in Him too. You should trust Him. And if God does things that you don't understand or that you don't like, at least trust Him that He knows what He's doing. Because He created the world. He created you. And if He didn't want you and didn't want to do good for you, He wouldn't have created you. So obviously, if things happen that look bad, but it's for your sake. So you have to have trust in God. And I understand somebody spoke to you about bitachon. Bitachon is the lamaisa, the Chazon Ish says, of emunah. I believe that's the theory. The actual thing, putting it into belief, is being true, being faithful to what I trust in God. I trust Him. If I believe in Him, then I trust Him also. I trust Him. And lastly, not only do I have to trust God, but I have to be faithful to Him. I have to be consistent with what I believe. Not sometimes yes, sometimes not. My father, Olav HaShalom, told me the following joke that shows how a person can believe in God, but, you know, he doesn't really trust Him and he's not really faithful to Him. There was once an atheist who didn't believe in God who fell off a mountain. And he's plummeting, falling to his death. And he says, look, it doesn't hurt to try. He looks up to the heavens and he says, look, if there's really a God up there, if you really exist, prove it to me and make a miracle and save my life. And if you do, I will be your faithful servant forever. And sure enough, right, as soon as he finished saying that, a tree pushed its way out of the mountain and he got stuck in the branches and is hanging between heaven and earth. His life is saved. He looks up and he says, thank you, God. I believe in you 100% now. Thank you for making that miracle. Thank you for saving my life. He's hanging by the branch for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. He's getting tired. He looks up and he says, God, well, what do we do now? What would you like me to do? And a voice comes out of the heavens and says, let go of the branch. The guy looks up and he says, is there anybody else up there? meaning, yeah, okay, I believe, whatever, but if God wants something from me that's a little difficult, then let's find somebody else. So emunah doesn't just mean I believe in God. It means I believe it where I feel it. And if I feel it, then I trust God. And I can be trusted to be faithful to God too. All of those things are included in emunah. And that's why there's a mitzvah even to people who believe already. Because it's a mitzvah to strengthen your emunah all the time. It's a lifelong thing. It doesn't happen overnight. And it never ends. Today you can be a maimin and believe, and tomorrow you believe more, and tomorrow more and more and more. It's more real to you, and if it's real, then you trust the Rabbanu Shel Olam and you're faithful and you live according to that emunah. You know probably how hard it is for a person to give his life because he believes in God, and if somebody comes with a gun and puts it to your head and says, serve Avodah Zorah, I'm going to kill you. And the halacha is, you have to be killed in the most circumstances. You know how hard it is for a person to do that if he doesn't really, really feel that belief and really believe that God is the one who gives him existence? To die? But if you really, really believe it, you're not dying, you're going to Olam Haba. You'll have an eternal existence. And if you don't do it, you'll live out your life in this world, but that's it. So to really believe it, it's really real to you, and you feel it, and you trust Hashem, and you are trustworthy, you're faithful, all of that is emunah. That's what it says. Avram Avinu believed in God. He didn't just say, yeah, I believe you. He felt it. It was real to him. He was going to live according to that. That's a big deal. Yashavel, God said, wow. You really, really believe. Not just you say you believe. You really, really believe it. That's emunah. Emunah is to people who believe already. But the mitzvah is not just to say you believe. It's all these things. And that's something you have to work on. That's why you have a Yom Iyun for emunah. You're all maminim. You all believe in God. You wouldn't be here otherwise. What would you be learning Torah if you didn't believe in God? But you need to strengthen your emunah constantly. And there are ways to do it. And that's what this Yom Iyun is about, that you'll have all those ways, all those methods to be able to not just say you believe in God and not only really believe, but really, really believe in a way that's real to you, that makes a difference, that you trust Hashem, you have faith in Hashem. That's what real emunah is. Okay, I hope I've given you a little bit of an understanding of what emunah is. And now, Baruch Hashem, you have fine Rebbeim, and you have fine people coming in here who will give you a little bit more of the practical side of how to do that and how to strengthen your emunah. Any questions?